So the things that are potentially traumatic events, we just need to code based on whatever it is, 1 through, I think it's 14. It 1 through 16. So 16 would be other, something that wouldn't be covered here. If they wrote something that you wouldn't consider a traumatic event, like that just is a stressor that is not atypical for, you know, people growing through life, then give it a 0. Everything else should be pretty self-explanatory. 16, again, is the other, which means this is considered a traumatic event above and beyond typical stressors. But I think everything, for the most part, should be covered in here. I think I did code 116, but use your judgment. Any questions so far?
Do you have, like, this is a big question, but do you have, like, operational, what's the word?
Definitions,
yeah.
No. So, we're going to ask you guys, because this really is going to be a 1-week project. This isn't long. We also don't know how we would code everything, give examples of everything, but, like, a non-sexual assault, known assailant, I got beat up severely by, like, a bully. Something like that. Non-sexual assault. Unknown assailant, I was mugged at knife point. Something like that. There are the only two things is if multiple traumatic events occur at one point, you are allowed to code multiple at one time point. But as you're going to see, can I actually share my screen just so I could show
you? Yeah, sure.
Like, so I coded mine because I'm an overachiever already. And this is essentially what I'm looking for. So we have the ID numbers here, and you can see three different time points, 1, 2, and 3, right? So each code, oh, that was the other thing I forgot. So each time point where there's an answer, you're going to code it. So an aunt's death is a relative death. I'd give that a 13. If you have NA or 999, please write 999. I thought I got most of the NAs, but this is just so we can calculate data.
Can I just back up a little bit, Brian, and give everybody a little bit more of a context?
Oh, yeah, sure. I forgot that they don't know this is
my the first years don't know anything about this project, and I don't think – well, Holly and Taylor know a little bit about it. They know it affectionately as the Manhattan Project, which was actually a – that was actually the name of the working on the atom bomb, was also known as the Manhattan Project. And maybe Holly would say this project is just as explosive, but a bunch.
That's a good one.
But anyway,
almost as good as the email joke.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So these are kids whom I collected data on with a colleague of mine, Carla Rentrop, from 2015 to 2019. And these children were eighth graders at a school called De La Salle Academy. They were given a series of assessments at three time points, in October, in January, and in May. And so we have four different cohorts. They're all eighth graders, but we collect them from four different years. So 2015-16, 2016-17, 2017-18, 2018-19. And so they're all eighth graders, but four different cohorts. We collected all the data, we aggregated it all, but we kept the time points separate. So these are all these kids in October, in January, and in May. And the reason we had time points is that we were actually conducting a therapeutic intervention with these kids, and we wanted to document outcomes over time. For the purposes of a manuscript that Brian and I are working on, it's ready for submission, but we just wanted to add a little bit more to the manuscript than what we have, based on some comments from one of our other co-authors. So we decided to add some information about specific traumatic events that these folks had experienced. And this is totally self-report. These are eighth graders just reporting on their own, what they believe to be traumatic experiences. What you'll read some of them, and they're not really traumatic. I mean, I see right here, I'm just looking, cat dying. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Brian coded that as not traumatic.
Yes, I did.
Even though that can cause somebody a lot of sadness. I remember when I was 7 and my cat died, I was really shaken by it. But that's not really considered traumatic in the sense of your own life feeling threatened. If you really look at the definition of PTSD, you have to feel as though your life is threatened, or you're witnessing someone else's life being threatened. If you look at it from that point of view, this should become a little bit easier for you. But just having given you some of that feedback or context, I'll let Brian continue. I also want to mention that everybody who's engaging in coding of these data is going to get their name in the acknowledgement section of the manuscript. So it's not like you're not going to go unsung.
Yes.
All right?
We appreciate this.
So, yes.
So, yes. Pretty much what I was saying is that the numbers correspond to what it is. So relative death, we did say that's 13. But something like parent issues, that's super vague, that isn't clear trauma, that's something that you would rate as a 0. Again, and if you don't have an answer, just put 999.
Yeah, now can I just add something? Parent issues could mean this kid's getting the shit knocked out of him by his dad. Right? That's possible. That's possibly what parent issues mean, but we don't know that. So we can't assume that that's what's going on at home just because some kid writes parent issues. So we have to give that a 0.
So I'm doing that as opposed to calling the cops on my father, knocking him out. I'd put that as a pretty traumatic event.
Yeah.
Which is why it doesn't really fall into anything else. So I'm putting it as a 16. But these are kind of like the examples that I'm giving. So many, they're middle schoolers, and these are general middle schoolers. Like, they weren't a part of this project because of any previous trauma history. So you're going to get a lot of, I procrastinated on my homework. Like, I was stressed about, a lot of them, because they're in middle school, like, I was stressed about getting into the high school that I wanted to. And I think, what does this one say? Yeah, like, this is lose streak on Overwatch. That is not a traumatic event.
You know, if that's the worst thing that's ever happened to me, I've lived a primo life.
Yeah. And I will be honest, not to like sway your coding, but a lot of them aren't traumatic events based on what I've seen. So don't be surprised, even though if we are coding for traumatic events, if you don't get a lot of traumatic events.
Yeah, just remember, we will, you know, Taylor, I really appreciate your question because you're thinking like an empiricist. And I appreciate that. I think if you can just remember the overall definition of trauma, what does trauma mean? Not trauma like, oh my gosh, my boyfriend broke up with me. I'm so traumatized. I don't mean like the common, you know, conventional use of the term trauma. The textbook definition of trauma is you feel that your life is under threat or you're witnessing somebody whose life is under threat. That's the textbook definition of trauma. So we're using that textbook definition by which to evaluate. Sex abuse is, you might not feel that your life is being threatened, but it's of a severity that your personhood is being threatened. So that's why sex abuse is listed in Brian's categories. That would count.
The only other one that might come some question is, I was talking to Dr. Goodman, we're counting family illness, like serious family illness, as a potentially traumatic event.
And that's traumatic. Let me just interject, Brian. That's traumatic because think about relying on your knowledge of attachment theory. You know, attachment theory would state that you are attached to a caregiver who's responsible for your protection and survival. Well, if that caregiver is sick, that's going to severely disrupt the attachment system and you're going to feel at risk for your own life, because you know that if your attachment figure dies, you're at risk for death too. So that's why that is. Now, you know, a relative, sickness of a relative, I don't know, how'd you phrase it, Brian?
What did I say?
Illness of a relative.
I just said relative illness, and that I don't mean like compared to other people. I mean relative as in someone related. The main reason I put that one in is because we put it for parents. We thought that it was appropriate to put it for relatives too.
Right. So we'll include that. Maybe the relative is a caregiver for this child, or let's say it's a sibling. You know, a sibling dying, or let's say a sibling that's sick might be a sibling who's dying, and that's you know, witnessing a death would count as a trauma. So we want to, now, you know, sister has a cold, that would not count, but sister's in the hospital with an aneurysm, yeah, that would count. So, you know, just be judicial with this. And if you have questions, either reach out to Brian or me for clarification and we'll help.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to reach out. What do you say, divorce? So we don't actually have divorce under traumatic event because we're going off of, we're using an instrument called the Child PTSD Stress Scale. And these were the categories minus the ones that we added that they concluded were those stressful events. So we thought about doing, because you're kind of describing ACEs, which I definitely think that would be an ACE, but since we're just going off of this previous article, we kind of just made the judgment that this is where we're going to draw the line. But good call.
Yeah. In fact, Brian and I went back and forth about whether to use ACEs or use Edna Foa's categories, and we ended up choosing Edna Foa's categories because it's her instrument. So I think we made the right decision, but ACEs was another way that we were considering going with it. So we appreciate that comment, Jeremy.
Were you putting this in like a mass
document? Yeah, I'm confused at like the logistics of this.
Oh yeah, I didn't go into that because that was all on me. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to compile everything in one big spreadsheet, and then I'm going to calculate how many traumatic experiences and how they're differentiated so we can include it in the manuscript.
We're just going to report percentages. That's all we're going to do.
Yeah.
What are we looking at when we're labeling what traumatic experiences are happening? Is it like a transcript?
No, just this one little Excel thing.
Okay.
In fact, what you see here is exactly what you'd be looking at.
Yeah, you probably won't have the colors that I will, but that's for coding purposes. But ID over here, 1, 2, 3 time point, and then I just need you to write your answers right next to it.
Got it.
How much time are we considering this is going to take, Brian?
I'm going to be generous and say that this is going to take like an hour. It's probably not, but at this point in the semester, I'll count this as an hour.
All right, so that...
I think you mean 6 hours.
I mean 6 hours. This is gonna take the entire 6 hours.
No, I think what we'll do is, so for the trainees, you'll still be responsible for your transcribing this week, but you'll be getting a break on Q sorting. Okay.
Okay, I'm just confused about like the logistics of this. So we're, this is like a mass thing, or?
So I'm gonna email you your own Excel sheet, and then I just need you to code that Excel sheet and then send it.
It's gonna look exactly like this, Holly.
Without these numbers.
Yeah, it's gonna have different. It's gonna be different, but it's gonna be the same in the sense that you'll get the same number practically, and you'll be doing exactly the same thing. You're not going to get the whole sheet with all 109 students plus, you know, times 327. You're not going to get that.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I've never seen anything like this. So it's going to have a list of all the things, and then we're coding it based on that manual?
Yes.
Didn't you enter these data, Holly?
No, I didn't enter this particular thing.
You did the session data. You didn't do the time point?
No, I did the time point too, but I didn't do anything that looked like this, or I never saw that manual.
No, Brian made up the manual, but you didn't. Somebody, I thought it was you, Holly, and your team. You entered these responses from the CPSS?
I really don't remember this specific part of this.
You do not recollect?
this part of it, I don't remember. Like, I did a lot for that team, but I don't know. Okay, I get it, though.
Yeah, so the CPSS is one of the instruments that was administered to these students at three time points. And,
yeah.
And so in the manuscript, most of the items, I think there were 17, Brian, there were 17 items, and you add them up and you get a trauma score. But at the beginning of that instrument, there's a place where you can actually write in any traumatic events that you experience, and the student actually writes in an answer. And so students, I thought it was you and your group, but maybe it was somebody else, entered all the data of the CPSSs, and that included the verbal answers at the beginning of the CPSS.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I remember that instrument. Okay.
Yeah. We didn't do anything with the verbal answers until now.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's why.
We tabulated the actual numerical responses on the 17 items, but the verbal answer at the beginning, we didn't do anything with it until now. One of our co-authors said, you know, it would be nice if the... Because we actually had submitted this manuscript and it got rejected, just full disclosure, and the main reason was that they were assuming that it was a trauma sample, and it's not a trauma sample. It's a sample of typically developing kids, but we're looking at trauma within this typically developing sample. And we want to demonstrate that, yes, it's a typically developing sample. On the other hand, even in a typically developing sample, trauma does occur. And among a percentage of participants.
Okay.
So that's why we're doing this. So we want to demonstrate to the next editor of the journal we're going to submit to that while it is a typically developing sample, there is some trauma history among some of the participants.
Yeah. No, yeah, okay, because now I'm looking at the specific items and I remember there was a fill-in space where they wrote it in.
Yes, exactly.
But now I was just confused because we didn't do anything with that at the time, but now you're doing something. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we...
I mean, even if we're being completely honest, we really only need time point one, but we're just coding everything so that
gotcha.
We want to look at it over time.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good idea. Okay.
So, and we estimate it's not going to take more than a week for all of us to do it anyway, so why not just code it all at one time? And as far as we know, we're not going to use it for any inferential statistics, like we're not going to report it in a results section. We're just reporting it in like the participant section of the method.
Yeah.
Just to flesh out the overall characteristics of the sample. So we're not using it for statistical purposes.
Right.
We're using it as, well, we are using it for statistical purposes in the sense that we're reporting descriptive statistics, but not inferential statistics. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So just as part of the participant section of the method section, we're going to be saying, you know, 55% of the sample, you know, experienced some trauma that's listed in Bryant's coding system. 20% experienced this. And then we're just going to add up the straight number and divide by 109, which is the total sample, so that there's overlap, so that the total percentages don't add to 100, they add to way over 100, because there can be more than one traumatic event that somebody has experienced.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think it's good that you guys are working with that information.
Yeah,
I just think it'll give people a little bit better sense of the sample that we assessed.
Yeah, for sure.
And you will all get your names in the acknowledgments unless you tell us you don't want that. So, all right. Any questions about this?
So the far left column where Brian had colored, are those just like, those are the actual people? Like those numbers are just different samples of people? So like, let's say it was like 118, like then it was hit that person's response, and then we're coding what
yeah.
that response is.
So the first column that you saw there were ID numbers of participants.
ID numbers. Yeah,
that's
okay.
Purely just for me for double coding purposes. You don't have to worry about the ID numbers at all.
Okay. So we're just reading the response and we're just coding it, and that's it.
That's it.
Okay. All right, cool.
I'm
going
to do a lot of depth, but I do not expect this to be too bad for you guys.
You know, Mel, if you want us to make it more difficult, Brian and I can get together. We can try to figure out something.
No, thank you. I have a tendency to overcomplicate things, so I just want to make sure
I'm
that I don't
do that. I'm in the
same
boat, Mel. I literally, okay. That's why I was asking all these questions, because I always overcomplicate
yeah.
things, and I'm like, is it, like, there has to be more to it?
Yeah, you know, I totally get that.
Promise there is not.
Okay, cool.
All right. Any other questions? So you transcribers will do your transcribing this week, but you'll get a week off from Q sorting. And the experts won't get any work, so maybe the experts can get a disproportionate amount of coding to do this week, because they're not doing any Q sorting.
Well, yeah, I'll look into it, but I expect an email from me right after this meeting for your things.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. So should we talk about this week's Q sort among the trainees? Yes? Exciting stuff. So,
yeah,
sure. let me just open up the...
I think there was some Russian meddling.
There might have been.
These are very funny comments.
Well, Mel is not in the continental United States right now, so we don't know who tampered with her ballot.
This is true. No recount allowed.
Stop the steal. All right, let's see. So we have... So I did what I always do. I calculated the standard deviations, and here they are. And there are only 7 items that were over 2, standard deviation of over 2, so you guys are obviously getting a lot better. That's my main demonstration of that. And nothing over 2, I mean nothing over 3. So this is the gold standard here of transcript 2231293, and then we have you guys' ratings. So we start with item 87, and the gold standard was right in the middle of 5. So Holly and Anthony were at 3, which is fine, acceptable. And Jeremy was at 3, that's acceptable. Mel was the outlier at 9, which is interesting because she had the high score. So let's look at that. 87.
So you don't want the Q sorting for 2 weeks, right, Jeff?
Right. So I sent you guys the next transcript to work on for 2 weeks from, it's due 2 weeks from today. I mean, if you want to work on it next week, you're welcome to do that. We won't discuss it for 2 weeks. Patient is controlling. Placing characteristic direction of patient exercise of restraining or directing influence in the hour. Patient dominates. Compulsive talking. Interrupts therapist frequently. Now, Mel thought that that was what was going on. This patient was totally dominating the therapist. Uncharacteristic of patient does not control the interaction, working with therapist in a more collaborative fashion. So, the feeling was, at least among the gold standard raters, that this patient was neither collaborative nor dominating. kind of right in the middle. And everybody else felt that she was more collaborative than dominating, but only put it in a three, not a one, obviously. So, how do you guys want to start?
I guess I'll start because I'm the outlier.
All right.
But I kind of want to pull up the transcript because the overall feel that I got was definitely everything was coming from the patient. It was like the patient's idea, but I felt like it was more than just the therapist following the patient's lead. Like I feel like the therapist couldn't really get a word in. And I might be mistaken, but I thought like that little cross that was written in the transcriptions meant there was an interruption, and I just feel like I noticed a lot of those.
All right, I have.
So now I'll actually look at the transcript to see if
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, let me also pull it up.
Okay.
I interpreted the cross the same way. But also, there was a lot of breaks before the therapist talked, I think. And the patient talked.
Wait, you guys interpreted the cross as what? An interruption?
Like they're talking at the same time.
Now do you, can you show me where that is? You have a page number?
Let me just go like this.
Like here?
Wait, hold on. Hold on 1 second. I made you small screen. I don't know where you went. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Zoom from.
Oh wait, hold on. Oh my god, I can't make
but
you
yeah,
big screen.
That would be one of the instances of the cross. So the therapist is saying you actually used to say that. And then the patient said, I did. And we assumed that that was at the same time as the therapist.
Right. Okay. Yes, I would agree with you. And the interruption came when, right when the therapist was says you first, right? So at the beginning of the cross is when the interruption begins. And so they say, the therapist says first, and the patient said, I did at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I thought I saw a few of them. So I'm just going to look for some more.
Okay. Here's a, no, I haven't heard of that one. A date with Judy.
Like, I just felt like she was talking so much. And the therapist, whenever the therapist was able to get a word in, but it was very, very driven by the patient.
I took it as more like that it was, yes, the patient was leading the session and there was little interference on behalf of the therapist intervening, but I didn't see that. This is like a cross between the items. Like, I didn't see it as controlling. Like, I saw it as, I actually thought the times that the therapist did speak and then the patient, that the patient was collaborative with the therapist. Sorry, but my parrots, by the way.
I was wondering what that noise was. Oh my god, you have parrots, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's
also
cool sometimes.
Okay.
it gets to be annoying, but yeah.
We would rate item 87 as a 9 in Holly's household with the
yeah.
parrot as the patient.
Yeah. You're on fire today.
I'm here all week, you know.
I do agree though that it wasn't that the patient wasn't like not collaborative whenever the therapist spoke. I do think that the patient really like heard what the therapist said and agreed with the therapist. So I do agree with that point.
All right, so what if we compromise this way? So she did interrupt a lot. I'm seeing it for myself. On the other hand, she was collaborative. So what do we do when a patient is both collaborative and interrupts a lot? What would we do?
Put it in the middle?
They cancel each other out, so it would go in the middle. And guess where the gold standard was? It was a five. It was a five.
I was going to put in, what did I put in?
Three.
I put it in three?
Yeah.
Everyone did.
Everyone did except for Mel.
Nine. Oh my God.
I was like, how did you remember I did that? Okay, because everyone did.
Yeah, see, 3-3-3-9.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah. It's a sad trombone for Mel.
Yeah.
So yeah, 5 is right where the gold standard was. So I think that makes sense given what everybody's telling me. But it doesn't mean you're wrong, Mel. You were right about the interrupting, and that would count toward the 9. However, that discounts the collaborative nature of the dyadic couple.
Yeah, it sounds good to me at that 5.
Okay. So we're going to the next one. Standard deviation 2.59. The gold standard experts put it in 9 and 8. How do I know that? Because it's 8.5, and the only combination of ratings that would produce an 8.5 would be a 9 and an 8. There's no other combination. So they were both pretty accurate with each other, pretty reliable. They both put in either 8 or 9. So where does Holly put it? 2. So we got 2 there. We got 6 for Anthony. That's still a little bit low. We got 7 for Jeremy, that's fine. And we got 8 for Mel, that's fine too.
Okay, listen, I'm an extreme thinker, so like if I disagree with something, then it will be like probably extreme. So this doesn't surprise me that if I had a different line of thinking this week, then I would have low reliability. Because I probably had an extreme line of thinking on certain things.
Okay.
But I don't know, let me look at this one.
All right, let me pull up the item. Patients' aspirations or ambitions are topics of discussion.
Oh my God, I knew this would come up. And I actually took notes on this because I knew this would come up, and I actually knew I would be the minority, but like, I actually believed this.
All right. Well, so that
I was like, should I just code it how I think is right or what I think?
Well. In this particular case, maybe you should have coded it the way you thought others would code it, because you're way off what the others thought. Place toward characteristics, again, if a patient talks about life projects, goals, wishes for success or status, for example, patient talks about her hopes to become a lawyer and earn a substantial income. The uncharacteristic is where you put it, Holly, is patient shows or talks about a constriction of future expectations in the discussion of realistic plans or wishful thinking.
Right. So I saw in multiple occasions that the patient did express their wishes for things, but at the same time, they seemed like they would always put a caveat, like, actually, this is the more realistic option. So if you look on the first page, she said that the patient had said, I want to be able to do that so that I can take care of myself, work, and live. I keep thinking, so it's looking towards the future. I keep thinking that I'll be stuck in some kind of clerical job or some office job and be doing it forever and just be trapped in that my whole life and all the things I'm interested in I won't have time to do because I'll be busy getting to work and coming home from work and ironing clothes for work. That doesn't sound like much of a life. So in my head, that was like, okay, this is my goal and what I want to do, and here's the constriction, and here's the reality of it, that I'm not going to be able to do it. And then I also saw it in other places that I took notes on.
All right, let's get some other examples.
Okay. So, also in the next few lines after that, she would say, I'm afraid of not doing work, but of having a job, a steady job, being trapped in a job, although I'd probably love having a stable something. So she wants a job, and she said it before, but then she continues, I knew what I was going to do. It would probably help me feel safer, because having nothing, I feel like I'm all over the place, quitting jobs, getting fired. So there's like this, she wants these things, and she's saying it. but it's like she's then always placing the reality that she's afraid of being trapped. And then she did it again. My notes. Sorry. So I know she did it when she was talking about dating, or he or she.
Right. It's a she.
Trying to find the part where she would talk about her wish to be with people, but or her date or something, but then she would go back to reality and say like that she's afraid of people and that she's afraid of being suffocated.
All right, so what do you want me to search?
Oh no, sorry, I'm finding another thing. Sorry.
What's that?
No, I'm finding another thing that she was talking about her past experience of, like, finding a job. And I took this cartoon class. Oh, no. This is where it was. And then if you search model, I could have been a model, I guess. Or I could have done something good in school, and I could have gone to some kind of graduate program. So she talks about her potential and possible wishes. And then she follows it later on with the constriction and the reality. Oh, my mom would say to me, oh, you're too stupid, you could not have done that. Honey, why do you have to do that? You don't need to do that. So it's like constantly like possibilities and like I could do this, but then the reality hits or like she's reminded of what her mom says. And then the cartoon at the cartoon thing, when she talks about the possibility of a job. Says, it's so frustrating and exasperating, and I guess I'm ignoring the sad part when I think about all the lost opportunities and I do see things that I might have wanted to do and possibly not. So she talks about things she wants to do and possibly not possible for me to do now. This is the reality, I'm saying. And then, you know, maybe like being a doctor or something, you know, a lot of things and people are mean too. Like I took this cartoon class a few years ago when I was 29. I told the cartoonist who had books published and all this stuff. I told him I wanted to work and like all the, so she talks about what she wants to do. Then she said, but I got some decent letters back and there were no jobs. I thought I could be a writer for a comic. I really did. So like she wanted to be a writer, but here's what happened. And because I felt my goal was like, I wanted to be an editor for a comic book. And then she talks about what the reality, she like goes on to when this person told her, why should they give you a job? And I didn't know what to say. And he said, I'm 30 years old and this and that. He gave me a real speech. So I had like, I found, and then she would say, I wanted to go to nursing school and they knew I was 31 and they would say, I would go to a medical school if I could or something, and then this guy tells me I'm too old and it really hurt. And then she also at one point talked about how she was, what was it? It was like, I don't know, there were just like many examples where she would always say I could have done this and I wanted to do this and I could have done that and here's like the reality and so that's why I labeled it to an extreme degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I like knew I would be wrong. But I did it anyway.
Well, who says you're wrong? I want to hear from the other three.
Can you remind me what...
Recount the votes.
That dog's barking, sorry.
What number 41.
What was the gold standard and what'd you put, Hal?
I put 2, and then the gold standard I think was extreme too. I think it was like 8.5.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, like,
you just give like, examples of how ambition, it's the ambition one, right?
No, yeah, well, I gave examples that she has, that she wants these things and has ambitions and stuff, but then I did the uncharacteristic description, which is there's a constriction, though, and there's more, this is the more realistic thinking that it's not going to happen for me, and I'm not going to go to medical school and this and that. So it's not the hopeful, and it's not the hopeful nature that I feel like the characteristic end depicts.
Yeah,
Holly's very persuasive.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where, like, you actually have to read the item.
Yeah.
When you're talking about all of this, I thought characteristic, but then when you read the item, it says constriction of future, so.
I'll chime in here. I mean, it's saying the aspirations and ambitions are a topic. It's not necessarily saying she's ambitious and aspiring towards something. I had a similar take in that she's talking about all this stuff from, like, a retroactive point of view, but nonetheless, like, at a point in time, she had ambitions or aspirations that were a topic of discussion.
Yeah, but
you're coding what goes on in that 45 minutes.
Yeah, like the item says, patient talks about her hopes. Like that, it doesn't say that the patient is ambitious or hopeful, but like it's more indicated in the first thing, and then in the second, in the uncharacteristic, it's like, okay. Here are the future expectations, and here's the I have these future expectations too, and maybe these goals, but here's the constriction and the realistic and the realistic end. Oh, I'm not smart enough. Oh, this and that. I don't know.
The constrictions are coming from an outside perspective. Does that matter?
No, it's not, because it came from her a lot of the time. Oh my God, you're really gonna make me go through these notes again, dude?
No, I mean, actually, Jeremy's talking about the item itself, not about what, right? So, talks about a constriction of future expectations. She does that. I mean, she says that she met with the editors of Marvel, and they said, "What are you talking about? You're a woman. How could you write for Marvel?" You know, I mean, it sounds like she actually tried, and she was shot down. She's talking about a constriction of future expectations. In the discussion of realistic plans, or I mean, I would think it's realistic to think that she could become an editor or a writer for Marvel. Why not? I don't know what her background is, but why would we dismiss that? But she says that she can't because they told her you're not a man, and that might sound crazy now, or maybe it won't, doesn't, but this session took place in 1993. We're talking about a session that took place almost 30 years ago. So 30 years ago, that's totally believable to me that she would be told that by people at Marvel.
I was under the impression that she was told this like 30 years before that session even took place. Like she was referencing.
No, I don't think she's too much over 30 years old.
I thought she mentioned...
She said she met with Marvel when she was, I think when she was 30.
She was 29.
29. Yeah. I doubt she's over 35 now. But you're right. So you want to take it three years back. We're talking about 1987 now. So, you know, it's back in the 80s. And I would think that people were a lot more sexist then than they are now. And so I believe her when she says that. I think it's totally believable that she was told that. And so she is talking about a restriction of future expectations. She realized that she wasn't going to make it in the comic book world. So then she tried nursing school and she came up against opposition there too. You know, I didn't read the transcript, so I don't know what the nature of the opposition was in nursing school, because the preponderance of nurses are female, obviously, even to this day. So I don't know what obstruction she encountered there, but I do agree with Holly, unless someone else can.
I just want to say, though, it's not just, it is retroactive, but she also many times in the transcript talks about her continual present feeling of constriction towards the future. Like, if you look, I don't know what page this is, you could look up Worthwhile. She says, "I've brought happiness to a lot of people. I love right after she talks about how Dr. F was a doctor and her life is a waste. So it's like right now, like, I can't be a doctor, I can't go to medical school, like, and to me, there's no hope for the future.
Yeah, I mean, I could have been misinterpreting this, but verbatim, I have patient says, because I don't understand why I did, and I don't know, I feel like, as I keep saying, like, I'm over 50, and I raised, like, 4 kids, and all this stuff. I'm a displaced housewife going back out into the community. I thought that was pretty clear that she's older and talking about
it.
Sorry, Jeremy, go.
There you can go.
I think something just clicked in me. So when I was reading the transcript, I was super confused by that, because then there was also a part where she was like saying she's like 31. And when you just read that, I think what's happening is she's saying like her soul is like over 50. And then she, I think, but I just had that thought now. What do you guys think? Like,
yeah,
she's
like
not
she
actually over 50? Yeah. But when I was reading it, I was like, what? How old are you? Are you over 50 or are you like 31?
I can tell you in a minute. Just give me a minute. But keep talking.
Yeah, that was my misinterpretation.
No, I thought the same thing as you, Anthony. I thought she was in her 50s.
This
I didn't think about it. For some reason, I just didn't think of the age.
This patient is 35 years old with 2 years of college.
Okay.
So she's 35.
So then she was saying it like I'm like over 50, and this, let me tell you why. And she's not actually over 50.
No.
She's not married. She doesn't.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. He's just saying that.
She's 35.
That was very confusing.
Yeah, that's why, that's like kind of what an effect or a consequence of like coding based on the transcript and not the video, you know? Like, we might be able to tell, like.
No, I understand. It in some ways, it's a liability. So, you guys feel better about this item? Are we in agreement that the gold standard was wrong?
I mean, I'm in agreement. But we know that.
Anyone else want to chime in?
I don't think the gold standard is right here.
Is what?
I don't think the gold standard is right. I wouldn't put it at a 9 or 8.
Okay. Can we move it toward a 3?
Yeah, that's good.
All
can
right.
You pull it up one more time? I just
yeah,
want
sure.
to read it one more time. Thank you.
Number 41.
Oh, wait. What do you want to read, Mel?
The item.
Oh, the item. Okay. I thought you wanted to read the transcript. Okay.
Wait, what is the gold standard? Is Palak the gold standard? Or
no. These are students who are long graduated.
Warren Wynn.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a confusing item because when I read the bolded part, it's like, yeah, okay, of course she is talking about her aspirations and her ambitions, but you're totally right, Holly. When you read even deeper, the uncharacteristic part, it's being talked about and it's a big part of it, but it's talked about in a constricted, I can't reach this sort of way.
Right. So it's like some of these items where if it's not discussed at all, like there's an item, sexual issues are discussed. If sexual issues aren't discussed, it doesn't go in pile 1, it goes in pile 5. So if aspirations and ambitions aren't discussed, it goes in pile 5. If they are discussed, but they're discussed in a constricted fashion, like this woman is doing, it would be in a low pile, where Holly put it. But if sexual issues are discussed, but if something sexual of a sexual nature happens, but it's not discussed between them, then it would go in like pile 1 or pile 2. Think of the scene between Borat's daughter and Rudy Giuliani. They don't talk about sex, but sex is definitely in the air. It would definitely go in pile 1 if you were rating that scene. No Borat fans, I guess. I don't know.
No, I've seen it.
Okay, all right. So, highly recommend that movie. But,
that was great.
Yeah. So, do we understand this item better now?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that, like, when you read the bolding, like, you could easily be like, oh, yeah, that's true, but then you have to read the fine print.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Let me check something. Just give me a minute here. No, I'm sorry. Actually, I was wrong. This patient's actually only 31.
Oh, wow. Really?
She's 30. Yes, she's 31, divorced, and she does have a bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
And she had 6 prior psychiatric hospitalizations. And she had made 6 prior suicide attempts.
This is the same patient each week, right? That we've been doing?
No. Different patients each week.
Oh. Okay.
Yep, different patients each week. So you've had a different patient each week.
Yeah.
And a different therapist, too, by the way. So this therapist was different, very different from the one from last week. Although the therapist this week was supervised by the therapist last week. Just interesting trivia. But this woman is 31 years old, whom you just coded, not 55.
Yeah, it changes things for me too.
All right, so I think Mel's right. She does feel as if she were 55. So let's go on to item 23, our old favorite. Item 23. We can never quite get on the same page. So the gold standard was 6. Holly was 4. That's fine. Anthony was 3. That's a little low. Jeremy was 9. That's a little high. And Mel was at 8. That's fine. So if we look at Jeremy's score and Anthony's score, you know, that's a big difference, right? That's a difference of 6. That's what we're trying to avoid, and that's why this item was flagged, because of the conflict between Jeremy and Anthony. How do you guys want to settle it? Duel or some other method?
Recount.
Rock, paper,
scissors.
Okay. So
I think I botched the same item for the same reason last week. I'm pretty sure.
All right, so let's just refresh your memories. This is the number of topics discussed. Dialogue has a specific focus. So it's characteristic if it's kept to a single or a few. We defined few as 3. Primary, foci, or focuses, right? The foremost topic of the hour is the patient's feeling that throughout the course of his life and in many different ways, he's failed to live up to his father's expectations of him. That's the primary focus of that particular session. Or multiple topics are discussed in kind of a scattershot, diffuse fashion.
I thought this was definitely the latter. Like, I don't see, I literally do not see how it's the 6.
Well, you weren't that far off. I mean, a 6 and a 4 are both they're both neutral. You both put it in a neutral category.
I know, but it still leans characteristic, and I don't see that. But it all
came back to fear, I think, was the overall arching theme. A lot of it was related to what she's afraid of, is what my understanding, which is why I put it really high.
I agree with that, Jeremy.
Yeah,
that's what exactly I was thinking too.
Yes, and that's a common theme, but at the same time, it's like, but in terms of like focuses, like there were many different focuses, like there were many different topics and focuses that were discussed, even though the theme of fear was widespread. But I didn't do it extreme, so I don't know why I'm arguing this.
You offered for me.
No, I just, like, wanted to feel like it today, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was discussed a lot last year also.
I would say I started training my first coding team using the PQS in 2007. That's 13 years ago. Some of you were in elementary school then. And I'm telling you, over those 13 years, item 23 has taken up the most time in my trainings of any of the 100 items, this particular item. We can never quite get it right.
Yeah, so something needs to be done.
Something needs to be done. What would you like to do?
I would like to eliminate it.
You know,
get rid of it.
You can't shoot the founder. He's already dead. So right,
then,
you got to cross that
apparently
off.
Apparently dead people could act. So.
Dead people can vote. So so what are we going to do about this? So fear is I think maybe Enrico Jones would say that fear is too broad. Right? I mean, you could argue that every therapy session is about the person's life. I mean, you can get too abstract. And maybe if it's all about fear, maybe that's diffuse. Right? That's somewhat diffuse. Fear of an asteroid hitting the Earth, fear that my dad's going to reject me, fear that my paycheck's not going to be cashed at the end of the month. Like, yeah, that's all fear, but those are pretty diffuse topics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I would agree. I would definitely move it down to, like, maybe 7.
I think if we're looking at it, at a primary focus, it's got to be fairly tightly wrapped around that issue, that core issue, whatever it is. Like, fail to live up to father's expectations. That's pretty tightly wrapped around one issue that's pretty clearly defined. But just fear, that's pretty diffuse. And that would actually argue counter to your argument. That would be evidence counter to your argument, I would think, that just fear. That is very diffuse. But failure to live up to father's expectations,
yeah,
that's a pretty specific. See, it has a specific focus, not a global focus. Dialogue has a specific focus. Fear is not a specific focus. I'm sorry. I don't see that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I'm willing to talk about a 6. That's slightly in the direction of a specific focus, but certainly not a 3. I wouldn't entertain a 3. You guys, and I wouldn't entertain a 9 either. Okay?
I mean, I could see this item like it's going to be like an auto 6 for transcripts moving forward, I feel like.
It's going to be what?
And like an auto 6.
It's always going to be you.
It's always going to be slightly towards characteristic. I think that's what it was for the last one. I expect it for, like, the next one.
Oh, I see. I mean, you know, I had a patient. It's very interesting. A white, blue-collar guy, my age, middle-aged guy. And he wept through the first 17 minutes of my session with him because of the George Floyd riots. And it just really struck me because it was so touching to him about what had happened, and it touched him very deeply. And what's he know about the black experience, you know? this white, Irish, middle-aged, blue-collar guy from Long Island, actually from Queens, who now lives on Long Island, being so moved by the outrage of African Americans about George Floyd's death. But there he was, crying the first 17 minutes and then spent the final half hour of the session talking about why he was crying. That to me is, he would have got a 9. Dialogue as a specific focus. That focus was white hot. It never deviated from that. He never talked about, I had cornflakes for breakfast this morning. It wasn't that kind of a session. It was intense from minute 1 to minute 45, and it was focused on his feelings about George Floyd's death and the riots that took place afterward, and his empathy for the rioters. That to me is a 9+. That was one of the 5 most characteristic, for me, it was the most characteristic feature of that session that I had. And I remember like it happened last week because it was so, you know, meaningful for his work in his therapy treatment with me. But that dialogue had a specific focus. When a dialogue has a specific focus, you know it from minute 1 to minute 45. This session, I think, Jeremy, did not have a specific focus like that. So I gave you an example of a 9. Does this transcript rise to the level of a 9 based on what I just told you?
Definitely.
That's what I thought. That's a good answer.
Nobody gave it a 9 anyway.
Jeremy did.
Oh, Jeremy.
I like to pick outside the triangle.
So right there. That was the 9. So
question.
Yes.
So if the whole dialogue was like limited to the part where she's just like, I hate men, I'm afraid of men. And like, you know that part? If that was the whole dialogue, would this be a higher rated item?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Okay, you answered my question. Great. Okay.
But it wasn't, was it? It was about lost opportunities, not being hired by Marvel, not being able to go to nursing school, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know,
it started there and then it traveled.
Exactly. And see, the traveling, the score gets lower every time she travels.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, that's helpful.
Okay. So we only got 3 minutes left. Let's do one more. Item 39, the gold standard, there's a little bit of disagreement there, maybe 3 and 4, possibly. But we've got Holly in 6, that's a little high. Same with Anthony. Same with Jeremy and Mel won a little, so nobody was within 2 of the gold standard.
Okay. We have reliability with each other, so
not really. Look, Mel was in 1.
Yeah, but okay, Mel was in 1, but the 3 of us, sorry, Mel, we're in 6.
You're just gonna throw Mel right under the bus.
No.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Right. Let's see the item, and I'll see if I can remember what it was.
Okay, 39. 39. Let's see. There's a competitive quality to the relationship. Now, this is a competition with each other, the patient and the therapist. So it could be the patient acting competitive with the therapist or vice versa. Boasting, one-upping, putting the other down. Therapist suggests that therapists live in a cloistered life while he or she is out living and working in the real world. You don't know what I mean. You don't live my life. You're not cooped up in this hospital, right? Or if there's little or no feeling of competitiveness between patient and therapist.
Yeah, well, I can definitely say, like, when I approach this item, I think of it coming from the therapist. So, like,
it could be either one, though.
Yeah, it could be either or. So if that's the case, and it changes it a little bit.
You thought the therapist was competitive with the patient?
Comments about that.
Like, when I think of this item, that's just where my head goes. It's like, it's kind of coming from the therapist. Yeah.
Either patient or therapist.
Competitive, and then she said, even the end, the last page, well, then that proves you don't have any kids or a wife because you would have known that. Really? It proves I'm a psychologist. No, but if you had a pregnant wife at some point in your life already by now, you would have heard the words. I was like, that's definitely. And I was going to give it a 7, but I gave it a 6. But there were more instances. There were like at least 3 where she said, oh, you defended yourself. And I was like, okay, that's definitely.
So those are actually good examples, Holly. I agree with you.
Yeah. No, I see it. Because I was thinking of it as like, this therapist isn't trying to compete. Like, this therapist is trying to like really help this person. So reading the item again kind of changed it for me a bit.
All right.
So I wouldn't keep it at number one.
So you'd move it up to at least a 3.5, maybe higher?
Yeah, I could see it at a 4 or 5.
Okay, that's great. I mean, Holly, I hear you, and I think a 6 would probably be fine.
Okay.
Based on the examples you gave, you gave me some very good examples of what I think is competition coming from the patient toward the therapist. So the patient being somewhat competitive with the therapist, but not necessarily vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But even, yeah, and there were other things, like when she said to the therapist, like, a date with Judy, like, have you heard, like, I don't know if you've heard of it. No, I haven't heard of that. And then she's like, well, a date with Judy was blah, blah, blah. I mean, don't you know? Didn't they teach you anything in PhD school? Apparently not. Look at that answer you gave me back. That stuff was kind of like defending yourself that you did learn something. I know you learned. I mean, like.
So that now you're arguing for 7 territory.
I said I was going to do like a 6, a 7, yeah. But I knew everyone else would do like a 6 or lower. So I kind of was like controlling myself.
Wow, so coding based on what you think other people are, you're using a lot of mentalizing there.
You have to mentalize.
All right, so thank you guys, and I will see you all next week, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.